Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, brother.
Amen.
I never have an idea whom I call by the phone.
Right.
And talking from the motel room, I found the pastor is not comfortable with the people he never met. I said, okay, that's fine. And he called me next 30 minutes. I said, I know who you are. I said, how came? Who told you something? And he explained to me, searching on the internet, thank God for all this new technology. Well,
amen.
If we know how to manage the technology, will be blessings.
Right.
If we use for evil, will be curse.
Right.
If we use him for a blessings, will be blessings.
You're
praise
right.
The Lord.
Right.
Well,
right.
He told me we met a few years ago. He explained to me where I can remember everything. I met maybe thousands of people.
Right.
I've been in different countries, even here in the States. And I say, who is this brother? Well, I wasn't able because I don't know his website, to go on the website and see his face there. But he asked me for my name and he searched about. He found it. When I saw him today, I said, I know this man. Well, better more than everything is that Jesus Christ knows us. And something else, he revealed himself to us. Because many people are so proud. They knew the presidents, the great shots in the world.
Right.
I'm so glad I know Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise God.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
I'm so glad I know him.
Amen.
And he's not ashamed of me. Even many times, I'm ashamed of myself. He never refused me. He will never reject me.
Yeah,
he still loves me.
You,
because he died for me.
Yes,
he paid for me.
Hallelujah.
Even I'm rebellious sometime. And I'm going to share with you how many times I tried to argue with Jesus. I'm a hard person. Even I try to be nice. I'm a hard person and not easy for somebody to tell me what to do. Well, let me introduce myself and my country. I'm from Eastern Europe, from Bulgaria. If you know where is Bulgaria, it's north from Greece. And Apostle Paul been called to preach the gospel in our territory. Macedonia, old Macedonia. Bulgaria has been created from a few nations, Macedonians, Bulgarians, Slavic, and Thracians.
Right.
And we took something from everybody. We took the language from the Slavic people, the name from the Bulgarians. We took the attitude from the Macedonians.
Yeah.
The Macedonian people are hard people. Nobody can tell them what they're supposed to do.
Right.
They will not listen. If you try to tell him, they'll fight with you. Yes. But I'm so glad Apostle Paul come to our territory and preach the gospel.
Yes. Amen.
And the history says, I like history.
Yes.
I search a lot of the history. The world history and Christian history and also different religions in the world. in the history always was been written by the people who are conquered, who conquered the others, who took over. And they put in the history what they want to put it. And the church history was been put in the books together from the Roman Catholic Church. And sorry to say, but all evangelicals, even the Pentecostals, apostolics, we follow the same history.
Yes, we do.
And I'm not happy with it.
Right.
Because this history says there is a dark ages in the world. What this means, there is no light.
Right.
And Apostle John talked to us that the light came.
Right.
And the world do not accept it. But the light still here.
Right.
How we can say there was a dark ages? Without light. The Spirit of the living God, Jesus Christ, never left the world. Well, searching around, I found historical signs. The movement of the Pentecostalism, especially apostolics, never stops in the world. We knew in the 20th century Pentecostalism come again in Azusa Street or Topeka, Kansas or Houston, Texas. It's a history. It's in 20th century. I found signs and historical reference from all the time on the past, 20 centuries. The Spirit of God reveal himself to the people who are hungry, who are searching.
Yes, sir.
But the world tried to stop him and did stop him all the time because the heavy persecution. Well, my country used to be under communist regime and I wasn't able to find historical books. After the communism collapse, I visited the National Library. I found a book on the treasure down on the bottom of the library. It's there is three stores underground. And they made them a special place for books with a special temperature. Everything set up like it's supposed to be. And I found the history. Always was people searching for the truth. And God do not keep himself in secret. Always he revealed himself and the people accept him. Well, I'm so thankful in the 20th century our people got the revelation again.
Yes, sir. Right.
For the baptism with Holy Ghost, speaking tongues, and baptism in Jesus' name.
Yes, sir.
And I'm so thankful.
Yes.
God called my family.
Hallelujah.
One of the first Pentecostals in my country.
Yes,
1916.
Yes.
And my grandfather is one of the first people received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues.
Glory.
Because,
hallelujah.
Well, many times we say, well, God honor only the people who knows him. It's not true. Always he pay attention to the people who search for the truth.
That's it.
Search the truth. My grandfather used to be a Methodist deacon. We used to live, I'm born in the countryside. And in 1916, the Methodist pastor of this small church asked my grandfather as a deacon to join him to pray, searching God. Always. When we search God, will find it. He's not a liar.
No.
And they pray every day for a few weeks. One day, being in prayer, they hear somebody to talk to them in the church auditorium. It was small, smaller than this one. And they look around, there is nobody else. They look at each other and say, "What you say?" They realize somebody else talked to them, and they say, "Must be God." They listen, and God spoke to them and say, "Pray to be baptized with power and fire." That's what the church needs in the 21st century also. The power of the living God. Well, what makes the apostolics different from another religious groups? Tell me. I'm sorry. I'm a teacher in Bible University. Always I want to ask questions. Sorry about that. What makes us different from another evangelicals, another Pentecostals too? And many times we say the baptism in Jesus' name. Well, this is some of the truth. The real truth of the apostolics is totally different. The apostolics are people manifesting the power of the living God.
That's right.
Why we are baptized with the Holy Spirit? What is the reason? Just to enjoy to be baptized? Just to enjoy talking in other tongues? Sorry. We are baptized to receive a power. The power is what makes us different.
Yes, it is.
Because the power is the manifestation of the living God, Jesus Christ. Without power, apostolics and the apostolic message will be just another philosophy. Nothing else. There is many philosopher schools in the world. One of my educations, it's too much. One of my education is the religious philosophy in the world. And I study the philosophy of all religious groups in the world. The Muslims, Buddhists, Jewish, any kind of. And without power, the apostolic message will be another philosophy.
That's right. You're right. Amen.
And the pastor of the Methodist Church and his deacon pray a few more days. And one day when the people walk outside on the street behind the church, they saw a big fire on the top of the roof of that church. And in Europe, the buildings are built in different from the States, with bricks and stones. You can go in and save some stuff. The people come in the church to do some, to help. There is no fire inside. The pastor and the deacon pray to the altar, speak in tongues. That's the baptism with power and fire. Searching in the book of Acts, following the history of the first church in Jerusalem, they come to book to chapter 2, verse 39, 30, 36, 7, 8, and they start to rebaptize the people. And the Methodist organization kicked them out. But there was many pastors' friends. There was interest, they shared with them. And 36 churches out of Methodist organization, come out and form this apostolic Pentecostal movement.
Glory.
Well, sorry to say, but the Methodist organization is still small up to now. From that moment, they still have only 18 churches in our country. Because the real manifestation of the power of Jesus Christ. When the power moves, nobody can stay against. Well, there was many persecutions. And the reason for me to be in this area of United States, I never come in New England.
Right.
I've been traveling in the States many times. Never come in this corner, Northeast.
Right.
Why? I do not have friends here.
Right.
I never met some people. Even I met some, I don't know what happened. We don't exchange our business cards. I have no connection.
Right.
10 years ago, I was in New York, in Newburgh.
Right.
Newburgh.
Oh, yeah, we know,
yeah. Yeah, Leighton's.
Yeah.
And I'm still in contact with them. Many times they invite me to come. I say, just to come for your church. Not good reason. I'm busy. I have no time to come. But this time I decided to come because I found some historical information here in Providence.
Right.
A Providence. There is one Christian family there. The ladies. Bulgarian lady, 82 years old. Her father was one of the first preachers in our country. And I come to follow the history. That's the reason I came Saturday and yesterday, early today, I was with them in Providence. But anyway, I knew a lot for the persecution which came after this movement starts.
Yes.
And here I learned something more.
Good.
Because nobody records about what was in the past.
Yes.
Because the communists follow everything. And they visit the houses.
Yes.
And they confiscate everything. Nobody was able to put in the paper some information. But anyway, I'm born in the apostolic family. I'm raised in the apostolic family. And I knew some, but not everything. Today I want to talk a little bit for the power of the spiritual weapons which was being given to us. Because many times we don't understand we do have a spiritual weapons to fight our spiritual warfare. We don't understand this. And in Texas, north of Dallas, I do have a friend of mine. He used to be apostolic evangelist. Maybe you know him. John Kammerdiener. He's ex-UPC guy. Maybe you know him. Maybe you know him. He's not in good health. He's not an evangelist anymore. But he lives on the huge ranch, over 300 acres. I have no time to stay in his house. He invites me many times. But passing through, I stay sometime one night, just to see him. And I see many animals in his property. One night I wake up And I saw through the window, I heard a noise, something outside. And I looked through the window and I saw 17 deers come to the house. I said, what? They're not afraid. And I asked him about, and he said, let me show you something. He opened one of his rooms. This room was locked. He unlocked the room, opened the door, and I was shocked. Everywhere in the room, there is weapons. On the walls, in the shelves. Say, brother, you must be a great hunter. He says, I'm not. Say, why you keep all these weapons? I love it. Why you don't hunt? And I accounted 72 machine guns, rifles, pistols, anything. And I say, why you don't hunt, brother? I see deers, I see turkey, I see ducks, anything. He says, my wife liked the animals so much. She feed him. Ladies are ladies.
Yes, they are.
Thank God for them.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And he says, she feed him. That's the reason you saw him during the night. She put a foot at the evening.
Yeah.
She knows the time when they came. And she put it near to the building, to the house. And they came and eat. She wake up and watch him through the window. She enjoyed doing this. And she told me, if I found you kill a single bird, I'm going to divorce you. He's in trouble. Christians, Pentecostals, apostolics, many times we look the same like this dear brother. We do have a spiritual weapons, we don't use it. Why? Sometimes we don't understand how. Sometimes there is, most of the times, there is somebody who like our enemies. Satan. And he do not allow us to fight. Stops us. Don't use these spiritual weapons. Don't use it. Well, I'm going to read a few scriptures from the 2 Corinthians. Apostle Paul wrote two letters to the Corinthian church.
Yes.
Corinth is in Greece.
Right.
Now it's in Greece. From the time Apostle Paul was in Greece, was Achaia.
Right.
And the Greek people used to live on the islands west of Turkey. And Apostle Paul spent a few years in Corinth, teaching the people. In the two letters, you can see a church, a live church, church with spiritual gifts, with many troubles,
right,
with many problems.
Yeah.
Because this is the church today.
Amen.
The church is not for the holy people. Sorry.
Right.
The church is not for the righteous people. The church is for the sinners from this world to come and be changed by the power of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's why the church exists. Many times, when we come to the church, we feel so happy. We are satisfied being in the church.
Yes,
and we say, we are in our destiny.
Yeah.
The church is not our destiny. Our destiny is the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The church is tool, only tool, to build the kingdom.
Right.
Only tool. And Apostle Paul spoke to these people in Corinth. I studied, as I told you, I studied a lot. And I found that people of Achaia, the original people of Achaia, do not exist anymore. What is the reason for that? There was a strange people. Always they want to fight with somebody. If there is no reason to fight, they create reason. They cannot stay peaceful. If they cannot find somebody to fight, they divide themselves and fight with each other. And little by little, there is no more Achaia people. Many times we do the same in the church. In the families. We don't go outside and fight with this world and everything what is in the world. We like to fight inside. We fight in the houses, in the families. We fight, the woman fight with the husband. Who is going to be the head? Who is going to rule the house? Is that right? There is a solution. The Bible says the man is the head, but the woman is the boss. So, this is a good solution. It's a good solution. But, we want to fight. We want to fight in the church, with the church people. Who is holy, who is not. And especially, we want to fight with the pastor. Maybe here is not like that. No? Praise God.
We got rid of all them.
Okay.
We won.
And Apostle Paul stayed a long time in Achaia, in Corinth, and he learned these people, their lifestyle, their attitude, their traditions, and he said to them, do not spend your energy and your time to do stupid things. There is no reason for that. There is something else you have to focus on and spend your time and energy to fight with the world, to fight with Satan, to fight with all situations come over you.
Amen.
Many times we don't understand why bad things happen to good people. It's a good question. Why? What is the reason for that? In my country, many people come into Christ. They're happy. And after that, they get disappointed. And they come to me and say, Bishop, I'm so discouraged. I'm so disappointed. I say, why? I come to Christ. And I expect everything to be okay. I expect my pathway to be filled with roses. And this doesn't happen. I got more problems since I came to Christ. Why? Because we just cross the line and come in the other side.
Yes.
But there is something else. Many times we blame Satan for everything. Is that right? Oh, yes. And we pray many times, Lord, help me. Stop Satan. Oh, take the devil out of here. Out of my pathway. Out of this and this and this. Take Satan out. And nothing happened. Why? Because Jesus did this situation. He created this situation for special reason. What is the reason? Well, I'm going to talk a little bit for some of the reasons. One of the reasons is he knew what he put inside of me. He put love, trust, righteousness, peace, and, you know, the fruit of Holy Spirit. You know all of this. And he wants to check and test and see what I still keep inside. Amen. I believe all of us, we use toothpaste. And we go and buy from the grocery store or some other place toothpaste. Coming home, open the top, what we squeeze in the tube, what we expect to see coming for? Toothpaste? Of course, because we pay for. That's what we pay for. What is going to be if we see shoe polish? We'll be disappointed. Even we still can use to shine our shoes. But it is not what we pay for. Jesus paid for me and for you to be a new creature. And because he knows this world wants to exchange always what we have inside, he wants, and he did, check on us from time to time. And he's squeezing us. A little bit. A little bit. Sometimes we feel it's too much. Yeah. But he knows how much he can do it. And he expects always to see what? Toothpaste. What he put in. That's all. The other situation for our test. He wants to promote you. And always, promotion follow the test. Yeah. To be in another class in the school, you have to pass the test. To get promotion in your job, you have to pass the test. Always. I still don't like it. But after the test, there is promotion. And something else. Jesus called us to be witnesses. Remember?
Yes, sir.
What this means to be witness for Christ? To what? Show to the people what? The gospel?
Jesus.
How? Just talking. No, people are tired to listen speech. And today, I saw how many stations just spread the gospel. But you know how many radio and TV stations spread another things in the world. And people are tired to listen. They want to see something real. And one of the reasons God put us in test is to make for us our own testimony.
Amen.
To be able to say to the needed people, I was in the similar situation. And I try everything. It's hopeless. But I found Jesus. He brought me out. He put me on the rock. And I'm blessed. That's what the people want to listen. They don't want to listen nothing else. They want to listen your own testimony. And Apostle Paul speaks to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh.
Amen.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and killing everybody who is disagree.
Right.
And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Many times we say, oh, my children are rebellious. They don't have enough from the gospel. That's the problem. Sorry. I was been raised in the communist country. It was against the law for my parents to teach me the will of God. The church was underground because the communists want to control everything. It's easy to control people. Make them poor and scared, they're under control. They did. But they found they cannot control something. They cannot control Holy Ghost. What is this? They can see it. They cannot touch it. They cannot arrest it. What is this? Who can explain them what is Holy Ghost? Jesus says, see the wind. You don't know where this comes from, where he goes to. But you see the power of the wind. That's the communist saw. And they are afraid from the power which they cannot control.
Amen.
What they shall do? They create a special law. Everybody who believes in the baptism in Jesus' name in speaking tongues is against the law. It's easy. They confiscate the buildings, destroy them, and our meetings come to be during the night. In the basements, under the woods, or in the caves on the mountains, we have a huge mountains. Because the secret communist police called KGB, they search everywhere to find people who worship living God. One of the rules, and the rest of the organizations, and the official church, which is Eastern Orthodox, similar like Catholics, they obey the rules. And the doors of the official churches was been closed for young people. The parents cannot bring their children to the church. And KGB stay on the corner and look. If some parents try to bring the children, they took him away. Our pastors decide to stay underground, disobey all these rules. There was many more. But this creates a lot of problems, a lot of persecution. My grandfather, who came to be a bishop over this fellowship, stayed in prison 15 years. And he passed away in prison. My father came to be in his office as a bishop over this fellowship. My father passed away in 1983. He was 66 years old, but because of the heavy persecution, he passed away. God called me on the ministry when I was 15 years old. How come? I have no idea. I don't plan to be in the ministry. I know all these situations. I never have a dream to be a pastor. To be a preacher, no. It's dangerous. Even I go to the church. I've been arrested as a young child together with my parents because they found us on a church meeting. And I know what is. I don't like it. But when I was 15 years old, the communists realized something. They cannot stop apostolic families to teach their children to believe Jesus Christ. And they pass another law. All children from the apostolic families supposed to be taken out, and the government will take care for them. Give them to the government. I refuse to leave the family. They stopped me from the school. The schools was government schools, everything there in control. And I pray and say, Lord, what I shall do? Without high school, in the communist country, you cannot drive a car. If you do not graduate from high school, you cannot drive a car. You cannot get your driver license. You cannot find any kind of job without diploma from high school. What I shall do. And I pray. My father says, son, I cannot help you. It's your decision. I cannot tell you stay. I cannot tell you go. If he says something, he'll be in prison. Right. And God spoke to me with real voice. This was first time to hear his voice. And God spoke to me something and took my attention because he promised to me education. Glory. I love education. My last degree I took 4 years ago.
Hallelujah.
Crazy. And because Jesus promised to me education, I say, okay. He said, I'm ready and I can provide everything for you. You need to obey me and just trust me. I say, tell me what I shall do, Lord. Because I'm expecting him to tell me what I'm supposed to do to get education. And he says, start to travel around the country and help young people of underground churches to stay with the parents, not to leave the families. Mm-hmm. I have no knowledge what this means, to work against the government. But because the promise of education, I say, I'm gone. And I traveled 4 years around the country, been arrested many times. But always, they released me because Jesus promised to me open door.
Right.
I set up in the front of you open door. There is no man who can shut this door.
Right.
Let's make the long story short. He gave it to me opportunity not just to finish my high school. Lately, I took 3 secular degrees.
Glory. Hallelujah.
I told you I love education. But anyway, I made many friends in this way. When I turned 19 years old, they called me to attend the Communist Army. It was obligation for every young man to be in the army 2 or 3 years. Wasn't difficult. There is no war. Peaceful. The communists are in control for everything. That's fine. But to be a member of underground church and to be a leader of the youth and be in the army wasn't easy. Very first day they call me to the main office and they show me a huge folder of the records of myself, my father, and my grandfather. They keep everything in records. And they say, we understand nobody can stop you to believe God. We don't want to ask you to deny your God. Just sign a piece of paper and everything will be okay. They say, let's make a deal. When the world offer you a deal, it's not too good. And they show me this paper. It says, I don't believe God. What is different? To confess, verbal, or to sign it. I refused to sign it, and they sent me in prison for 6 months. When the communism collapsed, I was able to come first time to the States. My first visit was in Houston, Texas, Brother James Kilgore's church. And I found one of the brothers there serve as a chaplain in the prison, in jail. I asked him to take me to the jail to see how the jail looked like in the free country of the United States of America. He did, and let me tell you, it's a good place to be. It looked like a rehabilitation center. Outside was too hot in Houston. It was month of May. Inside in the jail, they have air conditioners. They have a TV in the rooms. They feed him 3 meals every day. It's not a prison. It's not a jail. Yes. And in the communist jail was a little bit different. It was concrete cave, 3 by 3 feet. 30 feet deep on the ground. On the bottom, 3 inches water. And we have a heavy winter. If you then visit Chicago during the winter, you know what is. I found here in your area, in New England, you don't have heavy winter. Not too much. And there is no lights in this cave. No sunshine. They don't let me get out 6 months. They feed me just with bread and water. Many days they don't give it to me, let him die. This was their purpose, to keep me there. And every day they sent me soldiers and officers to beat me up to sign this paper. Amen. And after 6 months, they was in trouble. I'm still alive. Right. They have no idea what to do with me. Amen. The head of the army came to this military base, the first general. They took me to the office. We had conversation around 4 hours. Finally, he says, we cannot keep you here anymore. Because every day the soldiers come to you down to your place and you talk to them about your God. And all of them start to love you so much. There is no one left who want to come and beat you up anymore. In this military base was over 1,200 soldiers and officers. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it's a strong weapon changing the mind and the thoughts of the people and bring them to the obedience of Christ. Even they was attend the communist army, they disobey their commanders, they obey Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it's, you remember what Jesus say when Satan come after he fast 40 days in the desert. And he go through the test. Even he was God, his flesh shall be tested. What he told to the Satan, it's written. There is a power in the gospel. Many times we are so familiar with the Bibles. With the Bible. There is Bibles everywhere. In our homes. Oh, wasn't like that in my country. My father had a Bible. Nobody else in the church. He kept the Bible at home. In secret. And he took the Bible and read it. He memorized. When we come together in the church, he don't read from the Bible. He just talk what he read it yesterday, today, during the night. That's all. The communist police came, confiscate the Bibles, burn them. We cannot find another. But we are so familiar with the Bible. That's the word of God, of course. So what? There is a power to change the people. That's what we are called to do. And the office, the general says, there is another problem. There is another problem. All these people, all these soldiers and officers are interested to learn more about Jesus Christ. We don't want to have church in the military base. I say, sir, let me go home. He says, no. You'll be in public job 15 years. During the communism, it wasn't necessary to take me to the court and have jury to judge me, suit me, and make decision. The person on the top position, he'll make his own decision, that's it. I was scared to be 15 years in prison, public jail. And I tried to change his mind. I say, sir, I don't believe it's a good idea. There is many prisoners, criminals, murderers. They need Jesus Christ. I'm going to share with them. Soon we will see the same problem. I don't believe you'll be happy to see church in the public jail. Come on. He got mad. And he says, no, this coming night you'll be executed. He ordered my execution. During the night, they decided to do this during the night on the top of the mountain. One officer will take me there. He will finish the work, leave the body. Nobody will find what happened, and the animals going to destroy the flesh. He drove me with his car to the mountain, to the top of the mountain. He took me out from the car. My legs and my arms was in chain. He put and pressed his pistol on my head and said, I'm ready to murder you. But you have a few minutes for your last prayer. This was his mistake.
Right.
He wanted to enjoy seeing me to cry during the prayer. But he don't understand the prayer is a strong weapon.
Yes.
That's another strong weapon.
Amen.
But we change the prayer. Sorry about that. The prayer is a dialogue between us and Jesus.
Amen.
We change the prayer. We turn the prayer to be a monologue. We just talk and we don't stop to listen.
Right, right.
And something else. We turn the prayer to be a begging time.
Yeah,
we begging Jesus, do this, do this, do this. We make him our servant.
Yeah.
He's not. He made us to be his servant. We don't listen. Why we don't listen? Let me go in this direction a little bit. What is the reason? There is few. We are so busy. We have no time to listen.
Amen.
We talk, 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 and we go. There is another reason. We don't listen because we don't like the answers. Most of the time, the answer is no. And I told you I still have a problem with that. Because my will is hurt when he says no. And I say, Jesus, what kind of prayer I supposed to pray now? In difficult times, there is no long time for prayer. Now is time to pray and build relationship.
Yeah.
On the difficult time, just call on his name. Because his name is a very strong weapon.
Amen. Yeah.
Satan tremble.
Yeah.
Many people claim they call on his name, Jesus, Jesus, no answer. Why? Because they never build a relationship. Never built a relationship. And that moment I say, Jesus, what kind of prayer am I supposed to pray? I don't expect an answer. I just expect the moment when I'll be done. And the answer came, and the answer surprised me. Jesus says, tell the officer he need to repent. Say, Lord, it's not a good time to preach now. It's funny. Now, wasn't funny that time. No, 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 no. But anyway, there is nothing else he can do just to kill me. And I say, sir, I don't need to pray anymore. In a few minutes, I'll be with Jesus. You have to pray. You're a murderer, you're a killer, you need to repent and ask Jesus for forgiveness. He got so angry. He pressed the pistol again and he did make a shot. I heard the noise of the charger of his pistol. Nothing come out. And I say, yes, I know what he's doing. He play a Russian roulette. I expect the next shot. But I saw, it's dark, I don't see what is going on, but I saw his pistol fell in the front of my face to the ground. He tried to pick up the pistol and he fell. Lay to the ground, he started to talk to me and I found he cannot speak very well. In the moment when he did make a shot, he got a stroke. His right side was paralyzed.
Wow.
His mouth has been moved in different direction. And that's the reason he lost the pistol. When he tried to pick up the pistol, he lost the control of his body and he fell. Lay down, he says, don't be happy. Doesn't come from your gut, it's come from my high blood pressure. Next few minutes, I'll be okay, you'll be dead. He rolled to the ground over 20 minutes. And he says, I'm so sick. Help me. Drive me home. And tomorrow I'll report to the general, I'm not able to execute you. Well, I say, sir, I'm in chain. The key is my pocket, in my pocket. Take the key, unlock yourself, and do it. I did. I took him on the back seat. I took the pistol. Don't trust him to give it to him the pistol again. His left side was okay. For that reason, I discharged the pistol. And I saw he do not play a Russian roulette. All bullets was in order. And one of the bullets was with hole on the back. When the click of the charger hit him. There is somebody who stopped the bullet.
Yes, sir.
And I know who he is because I call his name.
Yes.
He's able to stop the bullet. He's able to stop the pistol to fire because there is nothing impossible for him. He is a King of Kings. He is a God of glory. There is no one like him. I took him home. I took him home and returned back to the military base. I cannot escape. They'll find me on the street and kill me on the street. In the morning, nobody came to arrest me. Nobody came to send me in prison. If I show up somewhere, the soldiers and officers run in away from me. And one officer came and say, don't show up, stay somewhere. The officer died this morning. Many times we say, I'm not an important person. You are. Because Jesus paid for you with his own blood. This makes him so valuable in his eye. He says, if somebody tried to touch you, he tried to touch the apple of my eye. It's important. The general arrived again. I'm fine, thank you. The general arrived again after 3 days. He called me to the office and said, get out of here. Go home. Do not forget something. Take your God with you. We don't need him. He's going to kill many of us. I return home. The family rejoice. The churches rejoice. And I made another mistake. I decide to thank Jesus. But I did something else. I say, Jesus, I'm so thankful you saved my life from the communists. 6 months I was in prison. Now 6 months I'm going to enjoy the life. And after that I'll be available to you. This was my mistake. And Jesus says, no. I do not save your life just to enjoy the life. I saved your life for a purpose. You can enjoy the life doing the work for my kingdom.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And And Jesus asked me to move to the capital city and start a new church. It was difficult for us to have church in the capital city. All officials there, the KGB is there, everything. And I have to go. 20 days since I've been released from prison. I've been in the capital city. Already married with my wife. She is a fifth generation apostolic. We know each other many years. And we start a new church immediately. I was 20 years old. 40 years ago. Being pastor of underground church. 22 years. And 7 years being bishop over this fellowship since my father passed away. The pastors brought me to be a bishop. I was young. I was 35 years old. I say, it's not for me. They say, you're crazy enough to be in this position. To be on a position responsible for the churches and pastors, you have to be crazy. Do not pay attention to the circumstances and to the government and everything else.
Glory. Amen.
Being pastor of underground church for 22 years, I've been arrested over 300 times. Sent in prison 36 times. They never keep me long time. They need just maybe a few days, maybe a few hours, just to go through the folder. Always they have folder. And when they go through the records and find the record with the officer who died, they call me to the office and say, it's better for you to go home. They're not afraid from me. They're afraid for my God. If I show up, nobody will be afraid. But if Jesus Christ show up, it's different. That's what we need to do. To show Jesus Christ himself to the world. And to show him, he needs to be in us. That's why Apostle Paul says, I don't live anymore. Christ lives in me. Well, the communism collapsed. Finally, we don't expect, but it's happened. We come to be official church, and we got a great revival. First 3 years since communism collapsed, personally, I baptized over 10,000 people in Jesus' name. Because the people were hungry. They lost communism. They've been taught always to trust the communist idea. When they lost, they see everything is shaken in the world. They need something stable to stay on. There is nothing stubborn than Jesus Christ. And they came, when the people in my country want to be Christians, they then go to another churches because their leaders cooperate with KGB during the communism. They say, these people, the apostolics, was faithful to their God during the difficult time. Their God must be true God. That's the reason we face great revival. For last 17 years, we have over 480 new churches. No pastors, no leaders, no preachers. And I used to work, as I told you, I've been with high education, but I used to work in their secular job in the electric power company. One of my education, I'm electrical engineering. And they keep me on a low level of position because I'm a pastor of underground church. When Mr. Gorbachev started his perestroika in 1985-86, they gave it to me position to be a vice president of this company. It was good for me. Because as a vice president, I have to travel around the country to visit different cities, to oversee the work of our company there. And the company gave it to me a car. They pay for the gasoline. They pay for my motels everywhere. During the day, I'm doing the work of the company. At the evening, I visit the churches. And oversee the churches, talking with the pastors, new leaders. It was good for me. And God spoke to me and say, it's time for you to leave the company. I say, Lord, it's so stupid. I told you, I still argue with Jesus. Yes. Why you want me to leave the company? I believe it's your blessing. He says, you have to start a Bible school. Lord, I'm not educated for that. My education is different. I have no knowledge how to do it. If you want me to start new church, I can do it. I start during these 22 years under communist regime, 16, 17 churches, different places. There was time, because there is not many pastors during the communism, I pastor 16 churches. And I have to preach 16 times a week. Being once in each one church. And I say, Lord, if you want me to start another church, I believe with your help I'll do it. If you want me to build a nuclear power station, it's my profession. I did in the past. I'll do it again. But to deal with the school, it's not for me. And God says, that's the reason I'm asking you. It seems stupid to me to ask me to do something what I cannot do. And always he explained to me. Because if you have your own ability to do it, you will take the glory. But now you will be depend on me. You're going to do the work, I'm going to get the glory. Amen. Oh yes! That's what we're supposed to do. Bring glory to him always because he is worthy. Well, now the school is official university with the government accreditation. Because on the past, they don't want to have church in the military base, neither in the jail. Now they need chaplaincy in the army. They need chaplains in the jail, in the police department, in the health department. There is nobody who can educate it. They ask me to do it.
Right.
And we are doing it. Because when they ask me, can you do it? I say, yes. I have no idea how to do it. Let me be honest with you. I have no idea. One of the reasons for me to go to Boston is to be in the Bible seminary there and took some material for the education of the military chaplains,
yes,
especially deal with the terrorists.
Right.
That's what we needed. That's the reason I came up to Boston a few days. But because of the grace of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, we are border with the Muslims. Turkey, we border with Turkey. 20% from our population are Muslim. Right now we have over 13,000 ex-Muslims who have come to be spirit-filled, baptized with Holy Ghost, speak in tongues, baptized in the name of Jesus. Glory! Some of these people are on the mission field to the Muslim countries. And I'm not going to talk more about that. But pray for us. Pray for these people who are on the mission field. They need your prayer. It's the body of Christ. We have a power. Because Jesus says, since he has been raised from the dead, all power from the heaven and the earth is given into me.
Amen.
And he is the head of the church. The church is the body. The head owns the power. It's available to the body to use it. And we, together with the prayer, as a body, we can stay against the power of the darkness, against all plans of Satan.
Amen.
There is no long time to explain to you, but in Europe, the European Union already set up a new religious union last year. And they ask all European countries who are members in the European Union to sign agreement for this union, including all religious, Buddhists, Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, non-Pentecostals, Pentecostals, Catholics, Eastern Orthodox, Jewish, and Muslims, put in together. And my government present to me, we refuse to sign it. Because they told me everybody else signed it in my country. All leaders of the religious groups. We refuse to sign it. I say, what is going to be the punishment?
Yeah, right.
And they say, right now, nothing.
Right.
But in 3 days, since I report, 2 church buildings who has been set in fire and burn out. Yeah. And these church buildings belongs to the ex-Muslim people.
Right.
And the buildings are in the middle of the Muslim society. The government do not persecute us officially, but they're using the Muslims who are unhappy because their people come to be apostolics. And they're using them to burn the buildings. I visit these churches. I visit these cities. I spoke with the officials of the city, spoke with the police department, spoke with the fire department. We can find it. Who did it? I spoke with the pastors and the church people. They say, we know who did it. But nobody can prove it. It's sure they protect him. And we're going to face this problem more and more.
Sure.
Because the coming of Jesus Christ is near.
Yes.
Right at the door. And we see all these signs. We see the preparation of the coming of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I don't believe he needs to prepare himself to come.
Yes.
He's here.
Right. Amen.
Yes. Yes.
We don't see him in flesh.
Yes. Come on.
We don't see him with our eyes.
Right.
Who's supposed to prepare? The church. The bride of Jesus Christ. And we have to be ready as a church, as an army of Jesus, to march victoriously through this world, working to save people and bring them to Christ and fulfill his command to make disciples from all nations. Thank you for the invitation, Pastor, to be here. I'm surprised.
Amen.
And my God is a God of surprises.
Amen.
And his surprises always are good and blessed. May God bless you in Jesus' name.